How are you doing?
Quite well. Down there.
Town meeting. Oh, interesting, interesting, interesting.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Didn't miss much. Debate on politics, sports, and what sports can offer for, as an example.
Just a subject.
Absolutely nothing to do with real life.
Well, it's inspiring.
It's drivel. Okay. Are you going to say, well, I'm going to say, told you so, and you believe me. 9,000? 9,100 and you just didn't think it would be so soon. And what did I say? Who knows? Who cares? Who knows? Who knows? Who cares? Who knows? I'm just blasé about the whole entire thing. It's a stock market out of control. And why?
People are making money, I think.
Oh, yeah. They're going to lose millions too. Okay, what are we going to talk about?
Ask protection.
Okay. Brings up a nice little problem, doesn't it? It's important that she starts to get coaching and lessons because
she has to want coaching and lessons.
She has to want, first of all, and she's going to run into some problems otherwise. You want to know why? Because A, she can't shield. She read through that thing briefly and didn't understand it. B, she's going to try for the simple reason that Mark made a slight goof in his statement
What is it?
where he said most people, a couple hundred miles is nice, but that's a walk in the park for me. She's going to want to do better. She's that kind of person, isn't she? That's going to cause problems. It's an honest mistake. He just wanted to state that there is the levels and the fact that he's a good teacher. And he is a good teacher. It's just that he didn't estimate her properly. She's a good girl, and that's the problem.
She's nowhere to write about some areas.
She's a good girl. Do you know what I mean by that? She's not an adult. She's still a little girl. Which brings me up to some interesting things, but let's get back to your questions on astral travel.
Okay, astral travel. Now, Mark mentioned earlier about him going into the mind. Now, is that one point in astral travel?
It's kind of retreating within himself to analyze things, shuts down basically all external inputs.
How do you shut down the external inputs?
Basically, he goes into a state which is near to astral travel or his level of astral travel. It's kind of like meditation, you know? And it's a great way of looking within yourself and analyzing things. I do it in a different way. And basically, what I do is I go outside, check myself, and then I retreat within. He just goes from where he is deeper and deeper inside. What I do is I check to make sure everything is safe for me, and then I retreat within myself, going deeper within my body. That, in essence, is very similar to what Mark does, apart from he just goes, pulls himself in and in and in, and tends to either sit or lie very still.
And then how do you go out?
Out? How do you
You're
mean?
inside, and you have to go outside again.
No, I just come back up like an escalator, elevator. I just go back through and I check everything as I come back up, and I'm back to being bubbly and cheerful.
So it's a little matter of serious question.
Yes. It's not joking around or anything. Yeah, it's a state of mind. It's very, very easy to do, and quite a lot of people do it without realizing. But to do it properly, to be able to go within and deep think without any external input, to be alone in a crowded room where all the noise is suddenly gone, and you're sitting in the crowded room, but you're not there. You're deep, deep within yourself.
My way of some trouble that I put within myself. I try to go outside myself. So I'm not shutting down.
Yeah. It's kind of like being in a big house, right? And you wander outside, you wander around the house, and everything's fine and dandy. And then you go inside the house and you close the door. And then you go up to your room and you close the door. And then you get into the bed and pull the bedclothes over you and lay down and close your eyes. But you see what's happening in that analogy? You close the front door, you close the door to your bedroom, you close yourself off with the bedclothes over you, you close your eyes. That's right. And you the doors are, yeah, signifying closing things. Yeah, going each level within yourself. Okay, you're now in an enclosed house when you close the front door, right? You're now within, you go up the stairs into your room, you close the door, you're within an enclosed room. You pull the bed clothes over you, you're now enclosed in your bed. Then you close your eyes and you're enclosed within your mind.
That's a good last one to probably have.
But that's kind of going within yourself.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Going into a deeper state of meditation instead of sitting there and doing what a yogi says, the yogis say, take so many deep breaths, so many shallow breaths, hum, go hum, create that resonance in the cavities in your skull. Hum. No, doesn't work for me. Never brought up that way. But yeah. But getting back to the seed that is sown. Both of you have sown two very different types of seeds in it. Within her mind are two seeds that need to germinate. They need watering. They need to be nurtured. Otherwise, she will experiment, more than likely get into some trouble, get out of the trouble, and get scared by it. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, well, that's just about covered that. What we could probably do is, you'll be around next week? Okay, well, that will give me plenty of time to work up, and then you'll be back when?
It's later, which put me back on Friday
night. Okay, so that gives me a good 14 days to sit down and come up with a how to astral travel tailored made. Okay, well, I better put on the next speaker.
Greetings and felicitations, Russ. And how are you functioning? Good, good, good. I am functioning very well. Okay, I will be brief due to the fact that I do have a meeting. Let me rotate the body so I can talk to you easier. as this is, of course, Kiri's portable unit, which is much more superior than...
So, Mark, would you some orange juice?
Yes, so I hear. Thank you.
Pleasure, sir.
Sir?
Well, respectful.
Ah, respectful indeed. Okay. Let us address things. Okay, you have questions.
A lot of questions are, you know, based on preparedness. And getting consciously and mentally prepared for the changes that are happening. It's part of our editorial we're doing. We did with the latest edition of the news. And so to go along with that, I'd like to get some other stuff to go along with that. We compared the our current time to being as on the Titanic. In which, you know, right now is like the boarding area. We're on board.
Talking of which, let us, and you will have to keep note of the time, have a moment of silence. Why?
It's the time when the Titanic went down.
And it is going down, or would be going down right now. In fact, it would be broken in half with its end up going down. Right now. So let us have a few moments of silence. Let us say about 30 seconds. Okay, so if you can keep an eye on the time. Okay.
There's a reason you did that.
Yes.
Besides the fact that it's merely a point in history that you're observing. But there's also an emotional tie that affects myself and probably Mark to that particular point.
More than you know with Mark.
Ah. Well, I'm sure you can explain the one with Mark to me.
Okay, I will endeavor to do so.
Oh, okay.
A young man that has a drink problem, that hates Sopwith camels, was a very self-loathing person. The reason that he was self-loathing was because of his drink. Why did he have a drink problem? Remember, when he died, he was probably no more than 21 or 22 years old. Correct. Go back 6 years. What happened 6 years prior to his death? Now, why would he have such a connection with it? English history. What kind of person at that time flew aircraft?
Well-to-do.
Correct. And the more well-to-do at that time did what with their children?
Ran up to school. Good
schools. Good schools. Boarding schools.
Right.
Doing a simple bit of deductive reasoning and from what Tia is saying about Mark and the problems that he has with the Titanic, the movie, or any movie to do with the Titanic, makes me believe that his parents, or at least one of his parents, perished on the boat.
So, if possibly both parents were on, perhaps his mother would have been saved on it.
Possibly.
While his father would have possibly died.
Possibly.
I doubt they would have been traveling in the lower decks in third class, which means a number of people died.
Probably somewhere in the middle. But
The moment of silence was not only for those that perished. It was for the start and end of a piece of history. The Victorian era of great industrial growth came to the end with the Titanic. People's belief in their invincibility, people's belief in their growth, that they had achieved the ultimate pinnacle, and the Olympia and the Titanic were examples of this pinnacle of engineering, when in actual fact, they were not. The Titanic supposedly was meant to be a lifeboat in itself, with its bulkheads that were self-sealing. With a flick of a switch, they could be turned on or off. So they did not need, in their opinion, as many lifeboats. Believing.
No. You will drop that orange juice all over the floor. There you go. I saw the Titanic and it's on a little salt going.
Now, those comments of yours, no. Let us look at them in the context of the conversation. The Titanic and the glass. The glass being the vessel, being the metaphor for the Titanic. This piece of silicon and various other compounds. Being invincible, and my belief that I was putting it on something correct whilst talking to you instead of looking down. Okay. The belief that I had that I was doing the right thing whilst talking to you and having total confidence in all this technological equipment around me to help me. To help me put it down without causing any problems is very much like the belief that the people had for the Titanic. And it was a symptom not only of a small group of individuals, but the whole entire Western world and its technological advances that it had made. The ending was the belief in that. Now, it carried on over for the next 6 years, and basically, at the end of the First World War of your planet, it was gone. But a common misconception about the Titanic is that it was the worst disaster at the time. That is incorrect. About a year and a half to 2 years prior, a ship had gone down with almost 2,000 people that were killed on board. But they were not prominent people. They were not the owners of great industrial businesses. They were not people of such well-known characteristics, such as Miss Molly Brown. They were just mere immigrants wishing for a new start, but being at the end of an old style. The growth that they went through in the waiting period of understanding and being prepared to come back as better people, having been through what they had been through, and the people of the Titanic that went through the same problem, is very important to understand. With that period in time, there was the Lusitania, the Mauritania, the Olympus, the Titanic, all these beautiful, powerful ships, all destined to become famous in one way or another. The Olympus, the sister ship to the Titanic itself, the Mauritania, the Lusitania, all destined to play an important part in history. What part does the Lusitania play in history?
Lusitania was the ship that was supposedly sunk by a mine. But at the time, it was vehemently denied that it was a mine that sunk it.
You are inaccurate. It was a torpedo.
The Germans denied all that.
Correct.
And through further proof, it was found that it was a torpedo.
Correct. It was also denied by the British that it was carrying weapons. It was. But it played an important part in history. It was also the ending of an era, like the Titanic. It was the end. By 1918, all that old invincibility that had come along with the pinnacle of the Titanic was all gone. All history. Now the slate was set for even more technological advances.
Yeah, after the First World War, major jump was
watched. Correct. So was it the pinnacle that had been achieved? No. There were bigger and better ships to come. The Queen Mary, the Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Elizabeth II, the Graf Zeppelin, the R-101, another disaster, the Hindenburg, another disaster. All these transportations were thought of at the time as being the ultimate pinnacle of their technology. Each one was realized to be a stepping stone to the next one in the particular design fields that they were in. Having been found that some of them were failing, they were put to one side, discarded, rejected, dismantled, or steel sailing, steel flying. So, having looked at each level of achievement as being the pinnacle, you must look ahead and see what transpires from those pinnacles. They are not pinnacles, they're just mere steps. A step onward. A step upward. A step to advancement. Let us look at technology. The pinnacle of technology, 10 years ago, is sitting upstairs. The pinnacle of technology that is readily available for every man is sitting in your office. The pinnacle of technology that is available to the extremely wealthy. They're just mere steps. But in their historical places, they are very important. The computer that sits upstairs, 10 years ago, you could get no better. The fact that it's been augmented and changed and makes it very competitive even with the computers of today tells you how good it was. Was, it's a correct phrase. It is past. The important thing to remember is that with technology, whether it is of avionics, ocean going, or space going, at its time, it is the most technologically advanced there is. For its time, and for a time. Now, do you have questions?
Yeah. One thing concerning the Titanic myself. As I recall, I wasn't incarnate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was advising a certain person who was incarnate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at it from a rather higher dimensional point.
No.
Theoretically.
No. You were looking at it from a different spiritual point.
Higher dimensional would be an actual transformation to that dimension.
Correct. A different spiritual plane.
But wouldn't I have access to a higher dimensional informational source? The Akashic Records of that.
The Akashic Records of a third dimensional existence. Not a fifth, sixth, seventh.
Well, that's a misconception on my own part.
Correct.
Okay. And so, from that point, that gives me a kind of an insight into the channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because a certain gentleman who I started listening to channeling first,
Mr. Ryerson.
Yes. Channels then third dimensional entities who have Akashic record knowledge of third dimensional sources.
Correct.
But not higher dimensional sources.
Correct. If they claim to have so, then they are mistaken.
No, they do not.
Correct.
They really claim to be disincarnated individuals
who mm-hmm.
have the knowledge of Akashic Records and have access to them.
Correct.
So that puts a perspective onto our own channels that we see here.
Correct. See, when Kiri accesses, or Kara accesses higher dimensional, they can also see lower dimensional. They access the sixth dimensional Akashic Records.
But they cannot access the seventh.
Correct.
Now,
however, there is a little quirk in that.
Okay.
When you have a higher, again, dimensional being inhabiting a lower dimensional being's body, such as Leonides,
right.
He has access to the eighth, the seventh, the sixth, the third, and so on.
Now that gives him a little bit more advantage on what we're supposed to six dimensional
beings. Yes.
But why? Why would having access to eighth dimensional Akashic records be different than having Akashic records from six, or conversely, having from, let's say, six to third? What are the advantages there?
Because let us say you are an engineer.
Okay.
Okay. And you can access your sixth dimensional Akashic records.
Okay.
Okay. You are involved in a project, let us say, working for a computer company.
All right.
You see how to build a sixth dimensional computer. You build that sixth dimensional computer. It works. Of course it's going to work. What have you just done? Seriously cheated. Not only have you cheated, you've looked at the rule book and burnt it. You are not learning how to deal with the third dimensional limitations. You're basically going way outside and using those technologies. Now, following it along the logical conclusion, you are a third dimensional person with six dimensional memories. You have six dimensional whims. You have built this computer that runs at about 10,000 megahertz, possibly even higher. I do not know. You have built it with unlimited holographic memory. You have built it with no need for RAM. You have built it in such a way that it will read and write any configuration of system that can be thought of on your planet. You turn around and sell it, sell the rights to build it, or you build it yourself, and find that because the technology is so easy to work with, that you can mass produce it very cheap. You sell the computers that you manufacture. You have basically a laptop, much like the one over there, that has the power of almost 1,000 of the fastest computers on your planet. What have you done? Besides making yourself very wealthy.
You interfered with natural progression of the third dimensional plane you inhabit.
Correct. And you have possibly put them on a pathway that they were not destined to take.
That has military applications that would be, you know, used in a way that we'd be just a burning cinder of rock in the middle of the universe. Or far end of the small tail of it.
Galaxy.
Here's a question for you then. Let's call it my last question, so I know you have a meeting to go to.
Thank you.
80 Space is made up of individuals from multi dimensions working together in a single space. Now, the individuals from a higher dimension, yourself included, have these memories available that you can draw upon to increase the technological abilities around you. And yet, you also have around you many individuals of a lower dimensional selves. So therefore, how are you able to use the knowledge you have and yet not interfere with those six-dimensional beings that you work with?
It's very, very simple. I do not tell them anything that they do not need to know. If I think or slightly hesitate that I should tell somebody something, then I do not tell them. The hesitation is doubt. If I have a little bit of doubt that the information that I'm about to give is wrong, and I hesitate in my voice, and I think to myself, no, at that point, I will not say it. Because the hesitation is a warning for me. Also, training does help. But knowing what they understand as being the pinnacle of technology and what I understand as being the pinnacle of technology is two different things. You understand?
Yes, I think that's a good model we can use for now. Someday, possibly.
Hopefully, yes.
Wherever.
Okay.
Thank you.
Strange place to put this. There must be a reason for it. Yes, I think it has something to do with the young lady that has just come through the bamboo. Very well. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back. Yo.
How's it going?
It's going good. How much?
It looks like about... I thought the really dark paperwork for the night. Hard to tell.
Okay. Hard to tell. Okay. Frown. Hello. It is funny. Mother gets up. Daughter jumps on the futon.
That would explain the last little bit.
Yes, it would. Waiting in ambush. Three pairs of eyes. It must be very close to their bedtime.
It would have to be.
What time is it?
9:53 down here.
So it is 7:53 up here. So they must be almost ready for bed. By the looks of them, they were.
And they're getting older. They want to stay up later.
Normal. Yes, perfectly normal. Playing hide and go seek, I believe. Okay.
That was an excellent section there.
Yes, and we'll did go into details.
Quite well.
And
yourself, my love, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Can spend time with my daughter and granddaughter. Yes, she's almost ready to go back to work.
How are mother and daughter doing?
They're doing fine. They're doing good.
A difficult pregnancy?
Not really. Just a little bit long on the delivery. But that's to be expected. The child is perfectly normal for a six-dimensional child. Nothing special. But everything is satisfactory.
Which brings up the next point.
Okay.
Inward astral projection. And I see now possibly where a lot of problems might have lied.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going inward, but going outward. By doing so, that leaves open a lot of different sensory activities that should be normally shut down for a successful astral travel.
The question is, why did he leave them out?
I don't know. I don't know. It's the first time I ever heard of this until now.
It's possible that he didn't even think of them. That he doesn't, if you remember what his comment about his astral travel.
It had to be that.
It's all automatic. And if you remember, he had a hard time trying to lay out a teaching program.
Yes. I realize what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But now we got good insight into it.
Yeah.
Something I can definitely use at this point. Because one of the things I noticed about astral travelers, they do go inward quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should ask him about it. Going within, what he meant by that.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't it be logical to... Yes, you're right. It would be logical for that to be a step, part of it.
Right.
Meditating within yourself before you go out.
Absolutely. Because then you're not concentrating on your surroundings outside yourself. You're blocking those out and you're shutting them down.
I would assume so. You've got to remember how feeble my astral travel ability is.
True. It still doesn't make too much sense. Mm-hmm. Find a little key here and there.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. And then, how is the ambassadorship going that day, my love?
Busy. That's why I'm a little bit ho-hum.
Tired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I got to come up with a topic here quick. Healing.
Okay.
Healing from loss, whether it is a physical loss, a mental loss, or a spiritual loss. Let us look at physical loss, the loss of a loved one, and how the healing from that can heal so many other things. I'm having difficulty thinking up good thoughts. I've been dealing with ambassadorial duties all day, as you know. And your frustration doesn't help.
Well, my headache probably doesn't help. It would be your headache, would it?
Could be.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. It could be both, actually. And what makes it even more uncomfortable is the fact that we've got headaches for different reasons. Okay, let us address headaches. Okay. Headaches are caused by numerous reasons. Normally by failing to eat properly, stress, or trauma. Most headaches are caused by failure to eat correctly or stress. The ones by trauma are in a totally different category and we will not bother with them because they are different. Stress and nutritional headaches serve the purpose of making us rest, taking time out from our problems, being able to deal with the problems at a different time. It is like the pumping of iron when our muscles get tired. And the thing is that headaches serve that purpose to stop us from overexerting ourselves and doing serious damage. It's a little bit like the negative feedback loop and the headaches created by that sometimes. It is the expanding and growing of the mental faculties, using parts of the brain that haven't been used before, giving them a workout, or that they haven't been pushed that far before. Now, dealing with learning new things can be a stressful experience. It can also be a tiring experience. And I find, I don't know about you, Han, but I find that when I am deep in thought, learning something new, doing something new, something that is stressful, I forget to eat. So headaches of the mental kind and the nutritional kind can be linked. So how do we stop getting those headaches? Well, a snack might help. And taking a snack serves two purposes. It takes us away from what we're doing. Gives us an opportunity to be away from our work. Unless, of course, you happen to be somebody like me that has lunch or breakfast at my desk. Maybe I should have breakfast in the breakfast room. That would be nice. And lunch also on the patio or in the breakfast room. Yes, I think it would be. Listen to yourself.
Well, I did that today, though.
And you still ended up with a headache.
Well, yeah, but I had why? No choice in that because, you know, I'm working at my desk, too. I went out to go get food, though.
Mm-hmm.
I took a break for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I, well.
But whilst you were out getting your lunch, what were you doing?
I was thinking about work.
Mm-hmm.